It seemed like everybody want to be a boss these days. Everybody want to be a boss till it's time to pay out, you feel me? Till it's time to pay that boss call. They ain't trying to have them tough conversations. They ain't trying to put in them extra hours, catching that windfall money, dealing with folks not being consistent. Don't get me started on the lack of sleep, but you know what they say.
Boss Life. BOSSFEST Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. BOSSFEST, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But them tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend to tell a friend and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butler. Y'all know what time it is, the Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life. BOSSFEST Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome again to another edition of the Boss Fest Podcast. How are y'all doing today? Listen, we are in a moment right now. We are living in a moment, but just like any moment, good things come from it, bad things come from it, but we got to be great and persevere. Election results have been dropped, and hey, it's...
Dang, I wish I could say my name before you do so much.
Hey, everybody, my name is Kevin.
I'm Edwina. And you just have a podcast by yourself. Ain't that a bit?
And you see, we're still our normal selves, so hey. The world didn't end.
I mean, we only been doing this for a year and a half. I wish we get the intro together.
The intro works. It's great.
It does not work.
It don't work for you?
No, because I'd like to be able to say my name at the start of the show, sir.
Let's try. Want to try it again, or we just good?
No, we good. I already told them who I am. Apparently, you want to talk about the election, so let's see what you got to say.
I was just saying that.
You were saying it so slowly, too.
It was like, so apparently some things happened.
Whatever. So, thank y'all for joining us. We know we're starting later than our normal time. You know, life happens. So, still happy to be in the room and do what we got to do. I'm here with my lovely wife, and we have a special guest that's going to join us on the podcast today. You doing okay, babe?
I could be better. I know you were talking about the election results, and I'm not like, I don't want to say like completely torn up about what the election results are, but I will share this piece of the story or this piece of what's happening in my life right now. We have a college student, and this morning at 2 something in the morning, she texts me and said, "Ma, can you figure out how I can get my birth control in bulk?" And for me, and I normally don't share like private parts of like what's happening in our life, but at 2 something in the morning, I was in tears because I don't feel like my 18-year-old should be thinking that way in this moment. And that's what hurts me, I guess, the most about this. So I really hope the worst of things don't really turn out that way. And for me, I know reproductive rights was really huge. And my fight every day is not like a fight for me because I'm older. It's a fight for her and all the women that come after me. And I really just pray that, you know, we're still protected in some type of way. But I just share that to say that kind of set my morning off. And I was a little saddened by that. But other than that, I'm here.
But other than that, we here.
So I am here.
We ain't gonna dig deep into that unless the conversation goes that way. But
well, you asked me and I shared that was my moment of sadness. But other than that, I'm ready to dive into the conversation.
So today's topic is what's the why?
What is the why?
And I would like for my wife to explain why we.
Well, I'd like for you to bring our guest on. Let have her introduce herself.
Do that first.
Let's do that first.
Okay.
I think my husband is distraught because all the things that normally happen in the podcast are just not happening the way they should. You need a checkbox. First, state name, check. Second, state, topic.
You talking slower than me right now, so I'm going to bring on the guest.
Slow.
I'm going to bring on the guest, Miss Jazz Marbenner from the Jazzy Conversations. How are you doing today, ma'am?
I am doing well. I'm doing well, and I see you guys are doing like your normal selves. That's why I love it. I love it. I'm doing really good. Thank you for having me.
We are happy to have you. Thank you for joining us. So before we get started on the podcast, our podcast topic, we want you to have a chance to really introduce yourself and let people know like what Jazzmar is about and what you do.
All right. Thank you so much. And so thank you so much for this opportunity of being on the Boss Fest podcast. I am Jazzmar Jazz Bennett. I am a mother of two boys. I am an educational leader. I've been in education for over 20 years. I would say this year would be my 23rd year in education. I am also an event host and the host of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast. And I am literally just all about following my dreams, following my passions, whatever it is that is really resonating with me at that particular time is what I do. And what I've come to realize is that those things that are very important to me in my life, number one is being the dopest mother that I can be in a co-parenting situation. And then the next thing is being a great educator with whatever hat I'm wearing in that particular realm. And then definitely this hosting thing. I went to school for broadcast journalism at Florida A&M University. 1998 to 2002, go Rattlers. I just had to say that just to kind of make y'all be like, whatever.
Hell, Wildcats.
You know, I just had a Wildcat on my show the other day and I didn't even know it. I was like, you a Wildcat? What you doing on my show? But he was really cool. So that is really who I am. I've just always had a passion for broadcasting. So to sum me up, that would be it, other than to say it's Scorpio season, so why not go ahead and give Scorpios, you know, they're just due. So that's who I am in a nutshell.
It's awesome. So today's topic is what's the why. So, what is the why? So you want to break this topic down for us?
Well, when I was thinking about the topic, we're coming off of a Boss Fest event, and we're really just revamping the brand and going into 2025 with what I feel like is trying to be stronger than we've been before and more focused than we've been. And then that made me say, like, when business owners and people do, you know, like events, because you have an event coming up, and when you're doing this every single day, day in and day out, you have to have a why, because sometimes it weighs very heavy. And that's, I said, this is the perfect time to talk about what that why looks like.
Yeah.
And that's where the topic came from.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a secret, not even a secret, but I went off film for a second because I have this in my office, and I don't know if you can see it, but I've always had this in my office. Like, I can't even remember how long. So it's like, when you feel like quitting, think about your why, or think about why you started. And this has followed me through every office that I have had. Like when I started my journey into educational leadership, you know, being an assistant principal and all of that, but it resonated with me. So I was so happy when you guys pitched that topic to me, because I'm like, yeah, we got to talk about that why, because that why is what's going to keep you going.
Facts. And it's no secret that I am in David Shan's like morning meetup, but he says that very often is you got to find the why, because if there's no why, then it's very easy to quit. So when it gets too hard and you can't say, you know, I got to do this for the kids or like whatever the better life, whatever your why happens to be, then it just makes quitting like it's nothing. And we quit, we start again, we quit, we start again, and nothing is consistent to grow.
Agreed.
So that's what it is.
I get it. I'm just in here processing it as how you just defined it. For me, I always wonder, does the why change?
What I mean by that is you think about our events. We started off with just getting our brand out there and the name. Okay, we've done that. What is more to do? Is it to build a community? Is it to educate our community? Is it to get money? Is it all of those things? What is the now why that's going to drive me to be great? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to figure out now. What is that true why that's going to make me get up every day and say, man, all right, this is what we're going to do to achieve the goal of the greatness that we got set for. And I struggle with that a lot. So I'm going to ask Jasmine, coming up on her third anniversary event. I'm pretty sure the first one had a different why. The second one made had a different why.
Well, I mean, let her answer that. Maybe you do.
Maybe you don't. Or maybe you don't. So I'm going to ask.
Yes. Go ahead. I will say the first why held more significance, I think, than the shows preceding it. And so this will be my third annual live podcast event that I'm doing. So it's a celebratory event, right? But when I first started, the anniversary shows, the why was truly to honor my father, to honor my father's legacy, to honor the fact of you finish what you start, to honor the fact that this has been a dream of yours for a very long time. And this, it was me showing up like, yo, I literally am following my dreams. Like it literally didn't, it made sense to me all the time, but I was always one of those people that would not start unless everything was lined up right. And you know that if you do that, it's going to take you a very long time to start if you just wait until everything is right. And so this why for the first annual event happened as I have no other choice. Like it was pervasively hitting me because I literally started my podcast 3 years before I showed it to the world like I did. And a lot of people don't know that. Like Jadacy Ingram was my very first guest on my podcast like 6 years ago. And I stopped because everything was not right. Like that first episode was so dope. We did it at the, Florida Museum of Art here in Lakeland, the Lakeland Museum of Art. And so it was perfect. Like my son was going to art camp there and I kept passing by this wall and this wall, I kept looking at it and I was like, this is the perfect backdrop for a podcast. Cause in podcasting, I never wanted to just do it as like a live thing where I went live. Like I wanted the glitz and glam. I wanted the high production and that's why I never started. And so I looked up. Because at that time, I didn't really have money for a full production, but I just linked up with people who believed in what I was doing and they did it for free. Like I had a sound guy that came in. I had a videographer. The museum agreed to let us do it. They thought it was the most wonderful idea ever. We started to get an audience because it's not like they closed the museum for us to do it, but we had like kids coming up to us wanting our autographs. I was just like, what in the world is this? And it just made me feel so good. But I don't know if I've ever been in a depressed state before. It's like, oh shit, like I started this podcast, but I didn't start it with a plan. So it was like, where do I go after this next episode? It's like, I didn't know because I didn't have a studio. It's like at that time, I was just trying to prove it to myself. So I stopped for 3 years. Like I came out with that one episode and it's in my page. It's on my page way deep down yonder. But I started back because I was losing my father. Like he was going through hospice and all of that in 2020. And so in 2020, I lost my father in 2020. And it wasn't until I went to FAMU's homecoming, like through that, I was just like, what is my dad's legacy? And then what is my legacy? Like what is my why? Like that's really what I set and I stewed over for so long. And it was just like, you know, you went to school for journalism. You've consistently hosted events. Like even when you were an AP, people will always ask me, well, what is it that you want to do? Do you want to do broadcast or are you serious about the administrator thing? Cause we want you to be a principal, but are you gonna, it was just always that question. And it's just like, I am all three of these things. Like, you cannot take one of these things from me. I even had coworkers that were like, well, Jazz, maybe you should pray the hosting thing away so that you can focus more so on your career at being an administrator. Cause you are, you know, like, my career took off really fast. Like, I became an administrator very young. And so I was just like, I cannot give it up. And I just remember my dad, man, he went in his piggy bank to send me to NABJ conferences. And that's the National Association of Black Journalists. He would go in his piggy banks to fly me out to Dallas or whatever. And I would get to meet these celebrities like Stuart Scott. Like, I remember being at a party with him, like just being able to be in the room with these people and networking and it just feeling like family. And I think I wasn't scared to move, but I really was in a relationship with my kid's father at that time. And it was hard to move at that particular time because I wanted to be in LA. I had all of these dreams and I just put them on hold. And so when my father passed, it's like all of that stuff just started coming back to me. And it was just like, I couldn't shake it. Like it just was a burning feeling in me. And it was just like, I just kept hearing, you've got to move. You've got to jump. You have it in you. Go, like, just start. I went to FAMU because I felt like I always described that homecoming. It was the first homecoming they had after COVID. Everybody was out in the street. You know, everybody was out. And it was just like, I literally went there focused. I know we were there because I went with Markeisha and some other professionals. Like, we were there to have fun and to go back to our roots. But when I say I was so focused, I felt like I was so disconnected with them because, yeah, we were there for something, but I was there for something else. I was there. It was like FAMU was like my Mecca because it's like, this is where I was trained. I needed to walk on the same grass that I walked in every day as a broadcast journalism student. I needed to go into those classrooms. I needed to go back to that radio station where I had my radio show every day. It's like I was retraced my steps of me being there for 4 years. And so starting this podcast was really an homage to me, but also to my father. Because, you know, I went to school on a scholarship, but to go to all of these conferences, you know, that took money. So I was just like, I'm not going to let him die in vain. Like, he never really got to see me shine in that arena. He got to see me shine in education, something I didn't go to school for initially because I got my master's in that. But that was my why. My why was because I have a love for journalism and I have a love for the underdog. And I've always like supported the underdog because I'm like, you can do it, man. Just keep pushing through. Like, you have something. Like, don't give up on that. Like, I've always encouraged people to not give up. Like, you can do it. And so that's where I came up with the comeback story. You know, I wanted to talk to people who overcame things because I felt like I was going through my own comeback. So that's really my why.
So in the why, you talk about the comeback story. So have you ever just done like the podcast and told what your story was?
No. No.
Why not?
So I think it's something in me that's like, it's something in me that's, so you follow David Shands and you follow all of these people. So you're getting groomed into how to create these stories that you can capture, but you can also capitalize on, right? And so I feel like my story is not formed in a way that I want to share it all from A to Z. Like, when I share my story, it's so much of a part of me that in my head, I see books, I see conferences, I see seminars, I see all of these things. And I don't want it out there just in social media space without a plan. And so that's why I've never shared the totality of my comeback story, because I want it to really be planned out to be something special. And I want it to be something that will actually carry my legacy where people, it just won't die. Like, people can purchase it, people can learn from it, and it will be encapsulated in a package, the right package. Like, I want it marketed. I want to, you know, speak to people. Like,
I have many questions after you say that. So if you're saying your comeback story, like, you want to package it. So is this almost like a course? Like, you're telling your story through somebody learning something that, like, they can build their brand on? Is that what you mean?
So it could be that, but it's more so of along the lines of being like an inspirational tool. So when I say, you know, so an inspirational tool. So seminars, not really a seminar, but just like a epicenter of just learning, not only just from me, but more so like public speaking to inspire people, to motivate people. Not like a how-to, but this is what I experienced. And so through that, learn from that, and then just know that you too can go after your dreams and it'll work.
So I feel like I'm about to change this into like a whole little coaching session, but here we go.
Let's go.
So, so when you say that to me, what I like, I instantly think if you have a story, it sounds like you start telling the story now, because it's not that we need to buy the story to see, we need to see Jasmine on the stage tell the story.
Right.
Because if I can't, if I buy the story and I'm not going to try to duplicate what it is, but I'm going to be inspired so that I can bring my own story to life. It sounds like it's one of those things. And, you know, if you follow anyone, they tell their story over and over again so much where you understand it. And I'll say, for example, like David Shands, we all know he worked at a Cheesecake Factory before he started selling t-shirts, but he tells that so much. If you go to his page for 5 seconds, you're like, all right, Cheesecake Factory. And then like Neo, I say this to Kevin, like Neo tells this thing about he was fired from like six jobs. And you're like, all right, we got it. But the whole point is it's a story that you know, and that person is that story. And so when you need motivation, you're like, I go to their story because they did that. I can do this. And that's what it almost sounds like to me when you say that.
You're on the right path. That is exactly what it is.
So it sounds like you got to start telling the story.
So I do. And so I don't want to tell it until it is, it's packaged right. So that's what I keep like going back to. I don't want to like just blurt it out and just be like, oh hell, I should have edited this part. And I didn't want to really say that. Or so I want it pristine. I don't want it fake. I don't want it like where it just has to be all shiny, because that's not really the story that sells, you know, like that's not really what I'm saying. Is it will be truthful. It will be heartfelt, but I sometimes can't even formulate the words sometimes, you know what I mean? Because it just was it's a big part of you. And so, and honestly, in retrospect, that's why I give so much homage to people. Like, I don't know if people, I think that the follower, the true fan of the Jazzy Conversations with Jazz podcast, they know that it's a formula to the comeback. And I never force this down anybody's throat. They know that I say, through my experience and through listening to everyone's story, I know that in order to make a comeback, you have to have God in your life. You have to have the right resources and know how to use those resources effectively. And you have to be willing to put in the necessary work. And everybody who's come on my podcast and we focused on that comeback story, I never make them say that. They don't even know what the formula is if they've never watched a podcast. But as that story unfolds, that is exactly what they take us through, a journey, because they always start off with, and then I found God, or whatever the case may be. And so that's why I always give homage to people who tell their comeback story on my show, because they're not like me. They're not looking at their comeback story how I'm looking at mine. Like, they can freely give it away, and it's just like, and they feel so much better afterwards. Like, I've had so many people that give things that they didn't even know that they were going to give to the audience. And so while it may seem like, well, we know what this episode is going to be about. It's going to be about somebody's comeback story. Well, if you really, really pay attention to their story, it is totally unique and totally different in everybody's situation. And it's a lot of people out there who have told their story on this podcast, and a lot of people didn't even know they went through the things that they went through. And it's just like, wow, like, I can't even really believe that. So that's why, although they find it easy to tell, and they don't really find it easy to tell their comeback story, but they tell it, and I'm appreciative of that. It is very hard for me to sit here and think about it, because sometimes I don't want to think about it. So it's like I got to get ready to tell it. It's really what the holdup is, because it's like I have someone who's on my ass right now, and she's just like, you are so much more than this. I see this. I see. And I'm like, yes, it's coming. She's like, sis, like exactly what you were just saying. Sis, tell your story, like tell your story, because it's going to resonate with so many people. And I'm like, I'm coming. So it's like, I'm
because maybe your story gets you on stages you never knew you were supposed to.
And that's what she's saying. And I'm like, I promise you, it's coming.
Are you afraid to tell your story because you don't believe that people will buy into the story?
No, not at all. I don't want to tell. When you have other people that's associated with your comeback story, I don't want to put anybody like in a bad light. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that repercussion would be, to be quite honest with you. But it's people that are tied to my comeback story. It's like, oh, let me consult a lawyer before I tell the story, because I don't want nobody coming back suing me. Or you right. know what I'm saying? So
that's so nice of you, because I'd just be telling the story. Say,
but that's the truth of the story, right? All of us have our trials and tribulations. And
yeah.
it's like, if I'm going around here and I'm saying, all right, this is what made Kevin Butler. I went from this point, I got kicked out of college for doing this. I met Edwina. We tried to form a family, went through IVF. Like,
his story is so lame. That's the whole story too.
And my story, the way I package it, yeah, right now it's lame, but I'm telling it enough and people hearing it, so that way I can polish it, so that when I step on a stage or I'm giving it to an audience, I've now worked on my craft. It's almost like a comedian.
So I understand that, but sometimes your story is so filled with pain, and like, so for me, if I was going to tell what my story was, it would be hard for me to get through the words at certain points of that story. Because when you're telling a story and you can remember it, then you also remember the hurt you felt in that moment.
Right.
And so you got to say that to yourself, almost like in a camera, in a room where nobody else is watching, so you can cry, get through it, do it again. Because you got to be able to tell your story for somebody else to be able to relate and understand it. But if I just start telling my story, it's going to be... And nobody gonna understand what in the heck is she talking about.
That was your cry?
Yeah, that was like I was crying. You didn't get it? I was like, you know, like one of the messy cries. That's what that was.
But you know what? You are spot on, because I've done that. And that's the point where I'm at. It's like I welcome it, because I think I'm gonna choke up every time I tell the story, because it is like it was a hurtful season. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was a season of things where you say, oh, I didn't deserve to go through that. But it's like, at the end of the day, you had to go through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to go through it, because it led you to the path that you're on right now. So it had to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I have literally said the story out loud, and it makes me so mad. You know what I'm saying? Like it makes me feel so weak. And I'm like, man, I ain't weak. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, but it's like, no, like you are human. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be walking around like you just like you're tough all the time. Like, it happened to you. And that is what people are going to resonate with. Like, these women that walk around that seem like they're so unbreakable, because we feel like we have to walk around like we're so unbreakable.
That's what I was gonna
and it's
say.
Like, no, that's what's going to break you in the end, is trying to be so tough when no, stuff hurts you. You know what I'm saying?
Did I not, before this podcast started, I told Kevin two things. I said, the Black woman is the most unloved person on this earth.
Oh, Lord.
And she has to be the strongest person all the time. And the only person that even comes near that to understand what that looks like is the Black man, but it does not even compare.
Yeah.
So when we tear each other down and we like say, you know, this or that, it hurts that much more, because we should understand each other's pain.
Absolutely.
And I had a whole day of meetings, and I was telling him, he asked me how it was, and I know I got us off track, but I was like, it was hard sitting in there, because I got to be stronger than everybody else all the time, and it's like it's never good enough. But did I not just say that? We just had a conversation, and all it started with was, how was your day?
I'm telling you that right now. I'm telling you, it's sad. You know what I'm saying? It's sad. And I don't want to open this can of worms, but I will, because it totally is off topic, but it's on topic with what you just said, Edwina. Like, it's just like, damn, like waking up as a Black woman today was just like, it's like we feel, I'm going to say, this is how I felt. I felt like you can be so qualified, you can check all the boxes, you can be in a position, in line for a position that you rightfully deserve to be in, And it's as easy as turning on social media. And you got a black man downing you? You got a black man that's telling people how unqualified you are or this and that. I'm looking at black men do this to another black woman. And it's just like, we are already the least protected out there. But then to have the black men do that, I just felt a certain way about that. I still just feel a certain way about that. It's just, I woke up feeling so unprotected. I woke up feeling like, is it ever going to be good enough? Is it?
No, the answer is no.
Is it ever going to be good enough? You know what I'm saying? Like, we have the wrong gender. We have the wrong complexion. The wrong gender.
As though you could choose it. I feel like Kevin over there, like, is killing him to say something right now.
I know to step out of this for a second.
But I don't know if you heard how I started the podcast, because I know he felt like I was bringing him down.
Didn't bring me down.
I didn't bring you, but how I started it was basically a text from our kid at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I heard it, and it was. Yeah.
I just asked if she could hear. I didn't know.
Okay.
I did. And that's sad that you have somebody that young that's thinking about that. You have people out here that's scared. You know what I'm saying? You have people out here, and it's the fear of the unknown. But you just don't know how radical this person is going to be, and he's going to get the green light to do it. Mass deportation, a change of the entire cabinet. You know, like, it is mind-boggling to me. It is utterly mind-boggling to me. And then here's what I want to hit on, because you started off with what your daughter texted you this morning. What really irritated me is when I would go to church services and people would say, you're not voting for the person, you know, you're not voting for a candidate, you're not voting for the person, you're voting for Christian principles. You look at the policies, you look at the things that they stand for, and they will always lead with the homosexuality thing. They will always lead with abortion. And if I am not mistaken, the same Bible that I read, it says that no sin is greater than the other, right? So you're not going to talk about somebody who's a bigot. You're not going to talk about somebody who's a racist. You're not going to talk about somebody who's hateful, someone who's a chauvinist. You're not going to talk about that as that being a sin, but you're going to lead your congregation by abortion and by homosexuality. And I just have a huge problem with that. And I'm against abortion. But I have a huge issue with that. That has just stuck in my brain. And I'm like, if I was in charge of a church, there is no way that I'm just going to stop with those two sins. I'm going to say all of the sins. Because if we really not trying to lead you to a certain candidate, I can't stop at those two.
Right.
So I felt that this whole thing, it has just been eye-opening. It's been, and I know you can't really... I don't know how deep it is for you guys. I know you can't really, you don't really know who people are, because they may paint themselves to be a different person with in front of you, and then there's somebody else. But it's these people that you commingle with in your circles, and they show you who they are. They show you who they are.
And I'm going to believe them every time now.
This right here, this bro right here. No, you showing me who you are. So how you going to call me bro or sis? I ain't with it. And I don't know how y'all see my personality as being, but when I'm out socially, like, I just observe. And I'm like, if you don't think I'm cool with you, roll with it. I may not be cool with you, but I'm just like, bro, you can't come in my space. It just don't feel right. Something just don't feel right.
Ain't she saying the words?
It ain't about, you know what I'm saying, the people that hide behind who they are. You need to be focused on the people who telling you exactly who they are in your face. So that's just that.
So I won't spend too much time on that, but you have
sound like we're gonna go there, so let's run.
No, so I'm just gonna say, Jasmine, right now you are saying everything that I have told Kevin for weeks. And I said, people are telling us who they are in our face right now.
In your face. And
I am going to believe them. So I can't control, you know, what my husband does, but when I move differently, understand that I'm acting accordingly. Because for me, like, I've never really cared. Like, people have different views and it's always okay with me, and I always have conversation about different views. This is not that.
This ain't it.
This ain't and it. a lot of people know our struggle and they know like the whole IVF thing. Yeah. And I am not against abortion, mm-hmm. but I do know there's been a couple nights where I've laid on the floor bleeding yeah. and we intentionally were trying to have kids and I've been there. And yeah. I say, and I said this on our last podcast, I thank God that somebody was able to make the right call for me.
Yeah.
And I had the right medical team behind me. So I didn't end
and
up.
And that's real. Statistic. That's real.
100%. And that was intentionally trying to have a family and things didn't yeah. go the way we planned. I yeah. wasn't out there like sleeping with somebody randomly. I've been sleeping with the same person since I've been 19.
Right.
So that's not what it is. And people aren't looking at the bigger picture and mm-hmm. who's there to fight for us. Like Black women literally get the raw end of the healthcare stick anyways. Like we just always don't have someone protecting us. And right. it's just so sad.
It is.
And I just refuse to, at the age I am in this state, to let people continue to play in my face.
Yeah. I mean, all in your face. I just
and I'm so like, I definitely will take a key from you. If y'all are like, "Oh, she moving funny," you could ask me because one thing I've never been is someone to like mince words. So right. if you feel like it is what it is and you want to be clear, just ask, baby, because I'm gonna tell you every
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
And that's just what it is for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna step on that landmine. Listen, I get it. I'm not going to step on that landmine. What I would say is this. We know we coming. Like this presidential election is crazy for our lifetime right now. To look at two candidates and to kind of hear the banter back and forth. And the only thing I can hear that they trying to use to disqualify one was like they using false claims like, oh, man, she's unqualified. Like, man, everything about her life and her service up to this point has been about people. Like,
yeah. is everything she's done is like what right. qualifies
was,
you.
Like every you take every step, and through those steps, it was like trying to find ways to devalue or diminish the right. work that she's done, right. or even try to overinflate the things she's done. Oh man, she done locked up more Black people than da 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 da. Are you serious? No, go right. actually look at the real stats and see what happened. She actually fought against a lot of stuff. Oh right. man,
Let's run it back because let's get you to step on some landmines here. We're talking about people playing in your face.
All right, so people playing in my face. So I'm gonna say this. So when I woke up this morning, because I woke up earlier than most people because I had to.
Because he was gonna give us some facts. So
like, I was gonna give a fact. You and I'm gonna say this. When I turned on social media today, mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you I was taken back about by how many men. Latino yeah. Black men that was on my timeline that was like showing their true selves, right? And it's okay for me if you like a particular candidate, whatever, right? But it was like the way that they was now
the way
that they were showing
the arrogance, it just
right
and, the attack on women in the culture in general that I've seen.
And
the culture that you try to play in, though, that's why I want to be clear, because you try to play in this culture when it's cool.
No, I get that. You're talking about Latino men and stuff like that. I'm talking about even from Black men themselves, like yeah. who...
You know I like to throw around words. I'm going to try not to do that.
And I know. I'm just saying, like, you can say about people playing in culture and stuff like that and still want to say what's up, bro, and da 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 da, but vote against your interests and vote against those things and try to devalue something. It was the fact that people saying, man, a woman isn't qualified to run the country. Like, BS. Like, most right. Black households are ran by the Black woman. Like, my wife runs this house. Like, this, the way we function, we move, is because she runs it. I'm not going to deny that. Most men who in my situation say the same thing. Most married men say the mm-hmm. same thing. My wife runs the house. So, absolutely, a woman can run this country. Especially when they've listed all the qualifications and you got a candidate who had no qualifications and then had the nerve to get on camera during his term when he got it the first time and lie so much so that we don't know what's truth anymore.
Right. Right.
And now we're back in that place.
And just and really just ran it how he wanted to. It's almost like this man could have almost committed murder before voting and he still would have won. You know what I'm saying? Because you would have had somebody to really to just still back him. because, oh, this is just what provoked them or whatever. And I know I'm going off on a, you know, on a real whimsical edge when I say that, but I just can think of the most absurd thing that this guy has done, because he's done so many absurd things and he's still there. And I was supposed to go to a watch party with my sorority. With a sorority sister, because it wasn't an AKA event, but I was so tired. It's like, I felt heavy last night. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not going to say like it was God protecting me from it. I don't know what it was. All I know is I could not stay awake for anything. Like how when Obama was running for presidency, it's like I would take no dose, or I wasn't taking no dose. I was just so enthused or whatever, like I wanted to stay up. But for some reason, I fought it. Like I tried to, you know, just stay awake, and I could not. Like I went to sleep probably like around 8:30 last night. So I didn't know anything. You know what I'm saying? And so when I woke up this morning, and just like you, Kevin, I saw all of that. Like I saw just these audacious posts, and I'm looking like, wait a minute, this is a friend of mine on Facebook, because you know my page is private. So I'm like, if I'm seeing your stuff, that means that you are a friend. And I'm like, wait, now this is a friend. And I'm like, I just kept saying, But aside from all of that, and we can do the why thing. The one thing that hurt me the most was me seeing a post. Me seeing a post where she couldn't even address the crowd last night. That thing hurt me so bad, because, you know, people.
Can you feel that for her? Like you've been there.
I felt that for her. Felt that was so deep, because I don't even know the last time. I don't know when a candidate has done that, and it probably has happened recently. I can't remember. I can't remember when a candidate just was so hurt that they couldn't come out. When I say I felt Kamala's hurt, I felt it. Because I was just like, when they came and gave that statement of, she said that she would address you guys on tomorrow. It was just so somber. And it just, when this episode, the topic of this episode, it's like, you're a why. Man, that lady had the most powerful why. You know why she was doing it? You know how much hell it is to be in a leadership position? And y'all can say yes, because y'all are bosses. Y'all know. And you're both in leadership positions. You know how much hell a boss catches? Like, you know how many times I would just want to just not be in a leadership position? You know how much headache that would save me if I'm not in a damn leadership position? Right. Do you know how much stress that would have left out of my life if I wasn't chasing a freaking why? Why did I do it? Oh, because I kept hearing, Miss Bennett, this is the first AP, or you are the first African-American AP that these kids have seen. Or the same conversation that you're giving Kamala, because who knows for certain if she really wanted to run? But you know it's somebody pushing her, just like we push a lot of these candidates who can be the first. You're going to be so impactful. We don't even know if, and I have to do history on it, because I am just speaking out of not doing research. But I think about these things. Who's there to say that Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to be the forefront person? Or they just said, you got to be the person. Because I know in our culture, we'll call some people in a back room in a minute and be like, listen, I'm going to tell you. And here's, I'm speaking now I'm speaking from what I do know. I know that people who have been of color and who have run for positions locally, I know that they've been pulled into a room and they've been like, listen, you got a shot. Like, we'll back you, and this is how we're going to help you. But you can be the face of it. We're going to support you. That's how most of this stuff started. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we've been real about it. So who knows what convinced her to even do this? But the belief in it, her why. Like, she would have been the first female president. She would have been the first African American female president after Shirley. I'm just like, can you imagine the insane amount of hate this lady gets? And then to feel like this country is behind you, or just to see like that beacon of light where you feel like you have a chance, and then this happens, you lose to somebody who is so freaking unqualified. That's what hurts. And you have people who are millionaires, billionaires that back this person because he holds their interests. He holds their interests. They have him in their back pocket. You can't tell me otherwise. That's the only reason why. It's greed. It's capitalism. That's what it is. It ain't about being qualified. It's not about being qualified. That ain't what it's about. It's ridiculous. It's like you ran a rigged race, is what it was. And how in the hell did
don't we always,
that anyway? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. But when she didn't come out, that thing hurt me so bad because I know her why is huge. It's huge. You got a whole husband. You know what I'm saying? You got a family. Like, you, who said you needed that headache? You didn't. The why was you wanted to show people, you wanted to show a little black girl what she could be. And to not be able to step on that stage and be named as the president, I know that had to be hurtful. It had to be hurtful. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely look at that situation. Like, the way it was brought about, the way it played out, you know, only having 100 and some days to campaign, the current president backing out due to health reasons, whatever. And now she just was thrusted from the very beginning.
From the very beginning,
I felt like she was digging up. She was already placed in a hole, mm-hmm. and it was going to be impossible for her to dig out of it. Right. And as we started getting closer to the election date, I said, okay, I think she might can pull out of this hole. Like, I think there's now enough things around her that can get her out of this hole. Right. But then I started seeing some of the little self-sabotage and stuff happening around her. Like, it ain't even her. It's people around her. Even stuff the current president started doing and saying, like, man, what is this?
Yeah.
And to look at the turnout, to look at the numbers, to see, you know, this energy, like, there were more people that voted in the last general election than they voted in this election. To see these states that were, like, true battleground states.
Right.
Like, say, nah, we ain't battling. We giving it to him. But I'm at this point, I'm looking at it from a position of, you know what? He's president. He has the Senate. He's mm-hmm. probably going to have the House.
Right.
He's going to have full autonomy to do whatever he wants to do the way he want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, these next 4 years, we need to pay attention and watch how we protect ourselves as a country, as a people, especially as black people, and understand how do we navigate through it. Because I'd be damned if my company come to me again and say, oh man, you ain't hiring this dude because he a fella. I'm gonna say you a damn lie.
Did you see my post next? I said, just take that off the application. Just take the question off the application.
Like, I don't never want to hear somebody a felon. That conversation been not ever come across. Well, you know he got a felony. The first email I'm gonna search, the first thing I'm gonna send to him is a picture of the 47th president to say he has 34.
Like, for real. Like if we
at
are
this being point, real, we done with this felony crap. Like,
if we are being real,
they qualified to do the job, then they qualified to do the job. We done holding people back.
Right.
But we're gonna see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's craziness.
For sure.
You guys said something, and I just wanted to just say truly congratulations on your event. It looked amazing. And I don't know what I said, because I don't know if I said it to myself or if I said it to you publicly, but I was just like, you know, just to keep going and just to keep forging through, because you guys have something special that I don't see anybody around here doing. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just like, you know, yeah, times are bleak. Times are a little weird or whatever the case may be, but I think people need to understand, like, when you do an event, how hard it is. When you do an event like that, that why has to stay pervasively in, and mm-hmm. you have to have a linear focused. Like, you have to just, it just has to be so tight where it's like you cannot let the slightest thing come and discourage you, because it will. And especially when you put money into an event, you know what I'm saying? Like, you are investing in yourself. And so I just wanted to publicly just give you kudos into a magnificent event. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, yeah, like they're doing it and continuing to do it.
Thank you for that. No, we definitely appreciate that. And I feel exactly what you're saying, because I think we talked about this on a podcast maybe a month or so before the event. We had a conversation and we're like, do we cancel this one or do we keep going? Mm-hmm. And I was telling Kevin, man, something in me just says we're going forward.
Yeah.
I don't care how it ends. I got to see the end of it.
End, yeah.
And the day of the event, and really, you know how events go. Everything that could go wrong is starting to go wrong. And you're just like, oh, my God, why did I get myself into this? And I have never seen Boss Fest from like the eyes of someone attending it. Like, people always tell me about it, but I've just never been able to see it. And this time I saw it and I was like able to be, you know, like sitting at the table, getting the same education, which is what I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And leaving that event, I was like, wow, I can't believe this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of game that is actually being dropped on the stage for just, you know, an entrepreneur who is just trying can pick up and really take this and like move forward. And Brandon Dixon, who was our headline, when I tell you, like, he left no crumbs on the stage. Yeah. It was amazing to see. And I said to Kevin after that, I'm not going to say we don't do it again, because now I've seen it for myself. We keep moving. So I won't say anymore, I don't know why I'm doing this. We should just forget it.
Yeah.
We're doing the next one.
Yeah.
And so that I put it out there in podcast world, Boss Fest will always be the first Sunday in October. We will start the fourth quarter.
Why are you laughing?
You know why? Put it in the books.
Hey, man, she returning energy today. Hey, there it is.
Put it in the books.
Put it in the books.
It will always be the first Sunday in October. Boss Fest will always start entrepreneurs off on the fourth quarter. We will handle minority business owners. And I feel, because now you're talking about the why, because I want the education and I want to be better. Yeah. And I think we all should be better. We shouldn't compete with each other, but we can be better.
Yeah.
And that's all I've been saying. And I'm like, now that I was able to see it and like I was able to take notes at my own event and say, damn, girl, you be doing this. Yeah. And sometimes you got to take a step back and say that to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
That's amazing. I'm gonna tell you somebody that I've been looking at, and she's been on my podcast several times. Mocha Glam. So she attended your event, and she said that she was going to attend your event. And I'm gonna just tell you, and I don't know what her strategy was in this fourth quarter in terms of her business, etc., because she's always been a boss. She's always trying to think of the next thing to do. But for me, I'm just going to say it, and she'll probably come on. I may tag her in the comments or whatever. I'm going to say, let me see if I can, but I'm going to say, like, I personally felt like coming to your event and maybe coming after it, I just see her content elevating. And I just wondered, I wanted to ask her, like, is it something that you learned from Boss Fest? Like, is that why you're doing it? Because when I say her content has elevated, it's like, damn, like you went from 0 to 100. Like, she's on 100 right now. Like, she's coming to my podcast anniversary event, and she's like, can I bring my videographer with me? And I'm like, well, hell, you travel with a videographer now? Like, well, let me find out. Like, I'm like, I don't know. My wheels was just like, I wonder if Boss Fest had anything to do with that. So I just wonder. Mocha Glam.
That's good stuff.
We want to know if that's what happened. Did you listen to the presenters? Did you listen to the information that was given? Because that's just my interpretation of me seeing you elevate. I don't know.
I would love to know. Like, maybe we should have her on the podcast and actually
we should have a few of them people, because that's definitely a why. I want to know, like, when we do these events, it's like, man, why do we keep moving forward? But I would definitely say this is the first time after the event
that I've been able to look at different people's content and pages, and now I can piece together the game that they got out of the room. And I was like, ooh, I remember
it's
seeing
like
this
we
one
didn't
person
have
content.
The content piece right. So right. People haven't really known what happens at Boss Fest, like after the fact. And like maybe we were able to drop a video months down the road. So like you really didn't get the impact. This happened in real time though. Yeah. So it was like, oh, if you weren't there, look what they did. Look what they were doing. I said, we're finally on the road to understanding. Like this is what people need.
No, I got you there. But what I'm saying is like the people who was actually in the room taking notes, getting the game, I've watched them transform their social media presence. To now is to attract and retain customers.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the attorney that showed up. I think her last name is Gifford or something like that. I think she's mm-hmm. based out of out of here when I so I would come across her stuff sparingly, right?
Yeah. Oh, she hitting it with the content right, too. Right.
I would come and you know, I remember like seeing it like after Boss Fest, her content, her the way she presents like an offer mm-hmm. she's giving you and things like that. I said, oh, that is a Boss Fest gym yeah. right there.
Yeah,
like, there's nothing else the way she's living. It looks so good. I said,
y'all got me feeling some type of way about my own content. Oh,
me too. I'm like, okay, so let me jump on the bandwagon. Let me go.
Oh my
god,
it was amazing to see. So, and that was that transformative thing in our event that we saw the why like transform in real time for us. And yeah. I know you like you got your third event. I see that your VIP is sold out. Congratulations.
Yes.
I know you still that's got huge. General admission right. to say.
It's like I want to tell people how many tickets are in general admission so bad, but it's like I'm not gonna do it because I want to sell this show out. And I'm telling you, it is close to selling out. Like I ain't even fronting or anything like that. And that, you know, so that's just what it is. I'm so hyped for it. Because I hear the buzz with it. And it's something that's going to happen during the show that it is full circle. And I don't want to take away from the question you were going to ask me, Kevin, but I do want to put this little piece in it. Like something full circle happened to me because somebody that I was looking up to for a very long time in media, like real media, like she was on the radio here. She's worked for TV stations. She was it. And I kept trying to ask myself, I don't even know how we met, but before I even got this job, I used to do community service like with a group called All for One. And we literally did what I am sitting in this office getting paid to do. Like it was a group of us that came together that wanted to expose kids to different opportunities. Like we wanted to take them outside of Polk County. We wanted to give them different skills that would just broaden their horizons. And so we would take them on different trips, St. Augustine, FAMU, like we went to different college tours. We had different speakers to come in and talk to them about business. And it was thriving, right? In some kind of way, I either tried to contact her or she tried to contact me when she was on the radio. And she gave us like a free spot. We were looking for sponsors to sponsor this trip that we wanted to take them on. And she brought me on her show. Like she was like, no, I don't want just the information. Like I see your presence on social media. I want your voice. I want you to come on the airwaves and do it. I was at a leadership conference in the summer for administrators. And I left out of the room to do that radio interview with her. Full circle moment. Something in me like over the summer was like, hey, I want to do lunch with you because I was just like at a point where it's just like, I need somebody that I can converse with. Like, how am I going to take what I'm trying to do to the next level? Because I this is a skill. Like, this is not just something you just get on a microphone and you do. Like, it takes skill to be able to do it, right? And so I was like, I need to talk to a professional. Like, let me talk to somebody that I can trust. And it just led me to her. Fast forward, she was like, yeah, we should do lunch. Man, fast forward, not probably like a week later, she ended up being at my school. I saw her at my school and I was like, this is weird. I'm like, what you doing here? She was like, oh, they just invited me to da, 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 da. Didn't even know that visit turned into a job offer for her. And her office is literally two offices down from mine. Like I get to see this lady every single day. And so what's so special about my podcast is that I always had a vision for somebody to interview me during my podcast event. And it has always been her. And this year, we're making it happen. So that's why I'm just like, how in the heck? I just feel like things are lining up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like, because how does that even happen? Like, how does that even happen? You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, and she's so excited to do it. And I'm like, it's like I get to vibe off of her every single day. And that has just been such a blessing because she knows her stuff, knows her stuff. And I'm just like, yes, sis. Like, okay.
So are you going to tell a little bit of your story on the stage?
So no.
We need to get her to make you tell a little of your story on the stage.
Like, she's going to ask me, so it's going to be a conversation. I don't know where she's going to lead it, but of course, you know, when you have those conferences about, you know, an interview, it's like, what's your goal with the interview? Like, what do you want to do with it? So I gave her that, but no, it won't be me telling my combat story.
Okay, so you didn't give her a whole bunch of pre-notes.
I did not.
She can only ask you certain questions.
I did not. And she interviews how I interview. Like, I don't, when I interview somebody, I don't want to know all of that. Like, I'll ask them to give me a bio, and sometimes I read it, sometimes I don't. I just need a precursor to go by. But in terms of, so this is what it is. I read their bio, but I do not want them to tell me their combat story. Like, when they start to try, I say, nope, I don't want to know anything. Like, I just want it to be an organic conversation.
Right.
Like, the only time I've done that is probably once, and I only gave 3 questions to somebody who's really nervous to get on a podcast because it's out of water for them. Like, I don't want to talk to people and people are going to see this. So that's the only time I'll do it, just to make them feel comfortable. Because sometimes I don't even ask them questions and they don't realize that I didn't even ask the questions that I had given them because I want an organic conversation. So no. And so, Kevin, I think I cut you off. I'm sorry. What were you going?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Did you remember the question you was going to ask her?
I got another question now. I was just thinking so much. But this question is off topic because it kind of goes back to the presidency and things of that nature. Because you were talking about education. And while you were sitting there talking about it, I said, man, I realized that there's going to be an attack on kids through this presidency. There's plans to gut out, to defund the Department of Education. There's also going to be an attack on the health system with things of these kids. Are you, as an educator, afraid of what the next 4 years is going to look for you in that space?
So I am disgusted is what I am. it's like I'm more disgusted more than being afraid. The space that I'm in right now, we are a private school, so we won't go into those same parameters per se as a public school. But I'm still public school to my core, to my heart. Like, I spent over 20 years in the public school sector. I've only been here for 3 years. So my service has always been in the public sector. And so I'm afraid of what may happen there, because there have already been idiotic things that happen in terms of coursework there, whereas people don't see it that way. But how can you not allow somebody to teach the history that is American history? And then I know that some people oppose it because of the curriculum and who's writing the curriculum. Something like that is as simple as getting experts to create the curriculum. Like, why is that such a hard thing for everybody to decipher? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is it such a difficult thing to grasp? And so I am like defunding somebody if they teach a certain thing. Like, where are we? Like, what kind of dictatorship are we really in? To somebody who wouldn't even know what a Florida standard is or a national standard is if it hit them in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even know policy. So to ask you about a standard or what a child is supposed to know at a certain juncture in their educational career, that's well above what you can even conceive. So it's just like, some people just need to stay out of education. Like, at one point we had somebody who was over education who wasn't even an education major, you know, like they didn't know anything about education. So it's just, it's hard to decipher, like, these people making these impactful decisions and they're like fish out of water. It is. I'm disgusted. It's more of a disgust versus anything else. There's Mocha. Y'all should ask her. We're going to ask you a question. They're going to ask you a question, Mocha, because I predicted something. I just want to see if I'm right.
So the question, and Jasmine, you correct me if I'm wrong. The question is, after BossFest, we saw social media really blow up behind Mocha Glam's brand. And we want to know if any of that came from what you were able to learn or take in from Boss Fest. Did I get it right?
Yes. Because I was just telling them, I was just like, yo, Mocha is like, she's on go right now. Like, she's bringing her videographer. She's creating all of these packages and all this stuff. It's like I see a difference in your storytelling. And I was just telling them, I think that has something to do with you going to Boss Fest and getting these gems, likes from the likes of Brandon, from the likes of, you know, all of the social media gurus who were on that stage. I just wondered if that had any impact on how you are promoting yourself right now, if you are still on.
I definitely seen the increase in different people. I definitely would be, you know, curious to see.
That just makes me want to get behind like my why, because if other people are able to take the content and really like grow their brand, why aren't we? And I'm not saying that necessarily we aren't. I feel like I've done a little bit more with social media. Social media hard. Yeah, it's so hard.
It is very hard. It's time consuming. It's hard. And then it's difficult for me. It has been difficult to even put funding towards somebody who can run social media. Because if I had that, I think it would really, really soar. Because it takes time away from me. I could be working on other stuff, you know, if somebody just truly just knew what they were doing. But I'm just so skeptical of people who call themselves like social media gurus, because number one, if your page is not booming, how can I expect for you to make my page? Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense. Right. Like, it don't add up. And I don't be trying to hurt people's feelings, but it's like, really, that's what I'm looking at. Like, I'm not trying to necessarily be cheap, but I am going to be smart about how I'm spending my coins. Like, I could go make my own damn graphic. I could go and cut my own video for what you're going to produce for me. Like, the impact is still going to be there. Like,
I feel like that was shots fired.
Oh, man, Jasmine, I've been busting people all across the damn stage.
That's what I've been doing. No, I have not.
I guess if they feel like they caught a straight, and that's what they got.
They didn't right? catch a straight. They hit
That's what I'm saying, Edwina. If that's what you're feeling like, that's what you're feeling like.
If Jasmine hitting strays, you've been sniping people.
Me?
Yeah, bro.
No, like, I'm really not. Now, what I will say, I'm gonna give him his props, because I'm gonna tell you, like, when it comes to social media, that videography has to be on point. And so I'm gonna go back, because I had to apologize to him. I don't know when you had Taj on my podcast.
Okay, I was like, I just want to know who him is.
Oh yeah. So okay. when you had Taj on your set for last year, when I had my second podcast anniversary live show, and you asked me if he could bring his videographer. And I said that he couldn't, because the person that I was working with only wanted his footage to be shown. Cause you do have some videographers where it's like, when we signed this, it's in his contract. When I signed this contract with you, like, my footage has to be the only footage that's shown, right? Some videographers have that. And so because that person had that, I couldn't. And so I had reached out to Antavio like a long time ago, because I wanted him to do some work for me, but he said he never saw the message. Cause it's like, after my podcast event, probably maybe 6 months after my podcast event, he was just like, oh my God. He was like, I did not even see your message. He was like, let's work. Like, I'm sorry, I missed your message. Da, 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 da. Fast forward it to now. I've just been watching him. Mm-hmm. Like, I never really paid attention to it. Like, previously, like, I saw him, like, I saw him, but I was just like, huh, that's a different look. And yes. I just kept seeing this different look over and over and over. And I'm like, wait, that's Tavio? I'm like, that's, I was like, okay. And so I'm just like, huh. So much so that he's probably going to be at my event capturing footage, because I have to give homage where homage is. I got to give respect where respect is due. Like, somebody like him is somebody that you would invest in. You know what I'm saying? Like, that to me, I've seen where he started and I see where he's at. And it's like, you don't have to explain or discuss anything to me, because that's how you grow. Like, you don't say nothing. I didn't see him bumping his stuff. I didn't see him being arrogant with it. I didn't even know who was doing it at first until I started really, really paying attention to it. And I was like, see, that's somebody that I respect. That's somebody that I really, really like that has that steady grind and they just keep going like this. It's just like, it's no, you don't have to discuss anything with me. I already know your work. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's, there's nothing to be said. What's understood doesn't need to be explained. And so I had to go back to him. I was like, you were the videographer, right? And I said, I'm gonna just apologize to you because I probably would have tried to sneak you right on in there if I would have known that it was you. So I recently just had a conversation with him.
Listen, when you know when T.O. is doing video, yeah, there is no sneaking T.O. in.
Yeah.
Any person in there who's trying to do content, see T.O.,
T.O. be like this in your face.
Listen, I'm gonna give a light quick story. Me, so we was at the in these showcase event Dame Dash hosted with Lee Jit, Licky Nicky, and some other artists. The room was full of former great hip hop artists, Cuban Link, Smoke from Field Mob, things.
Smoke. I love me some Smoke. That was one of my first favorite interviews on the radio when I was in college. Was Phil Mob.
So you know, Dame, he got his film crew there. They got their camera set up. You know, they trying to do professional and all this stuff. And T.O. showed up maybe about like an hour into the set, getting going. And T.O. set is real simple. You look at him like, man, like, what you got? You got a cell phone, bro? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, do what you're gonna do, man. T.O. across the stage, T.O. up underneath the artist.
I think he played like the guitar for a little minute.
He was on the drums, he used a little saxophone stuff. He served drinks. Then he went outside and rapped. Like listen, T.O. is
everywhere.
A beast.
This everywhere. Let me tell you why. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, and why he's doing all that, he's giving you your content in real time before you even realize, like, he just went past you. You went to the bathroom, you came back, and your content is posted. Like, God, dang it, that was quick. How did you do that?
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing for us to see our Boss Fest content come out so quick and so fast. Like,
and not just ours, other people.
I'm telling you, because I was talking to him and I said, look, I just asked him, and he was like, I have been in places where I have been booked for five people in the same room, and I've been able to give them the same quality of content. And I was just like, because I saw it firsthand when we were at Christopher King's the gentleman's course, the gala that he did. I was just like, everything that you're saying, I was just looking at him like, dude, like, he is everywhere. When I say every inch of the venue, when I say getting VOSOTs, getting people to give commentary, like on the spot, zooming in, zooming out, zoom, 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 doing this, doing that, like, he with that personality and all that. I'm just like, boy, you are working this room. Like, you are everywhere. And it's like, it is something about somebody just really perfecting their craft. And it's just like being untouchable in that particular moment that can just make a staple that I respect. Like, I can't do anything but respect it. You know what I'm saying? Like, how can you hate on that? Like, how and why would you? Not saying that anybody's hating on him at all, but it's just, I just love great cinematography, love great videography, because in the market of content creation, you got to have you a great person who just knows that camera like that, knows those angles, knows how to edit like and fast, that can get you your stuff when you want it fast.
And then he still was at Boss Fest and was able to get coached from Brandon.
And he getting coached. And the one thing, I'll get off the T.O. train because he's amazing.
Yeah.
One thing I definitely was admired about what he did or how he was doing, it was like, he was dropping game, he was giving action items, like, and the one thing he did, he gave his gift away. While he was in the room, he was getting paid probably from myself, Taj, other people that was paying for their content, but he would see somebody else who had influence. He'd be like, hey, come here, let me work with you real quick.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Get with them, work with them, shoot them that content quick and fast. Them people like, this is you. This is amazing. Now he done booked another gig because he wasn't afraid to give his gift away. A lot of times we go in spaces and places.
Oh, you're trying to coach us.
A lot of places, people don't want to get a gift away.
Yeah.
Like, man, people don't know you until they know you. So sometimes you got to believe in yourself enough to get that game back. I know he booked several clients that day.
Facts. And that's what you have to do. You really have to learn from that. And that's, I just, like I said, I'm an observer, and I can tell when somebody thinks that what I have is, I don't want to say profitable, so I don't know why that came to my brain, but that is a value. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I just tend to not be in spaces where I don't feel valued. You know what I'm saying? It's a feeling for me that's just like, I just don't want to be in that space anymore in my life. Like, I've worked too hard. Like, I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody because of my why. Like, my why is intrinsic. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that I'm changing people's lives. I know that I am inspiring people to never give up. Like, I know that is what I'm doing. Like, I'm living in my purpose. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I'm doing it through spotlighting the stories of others, but it will come to fruition where my story is definitely shared. And so, like, when people come out, I tell people, like, when people come out to this podcast event, I've heard it too much. And sometimes most of those people that are impacted, they're not on social media like that. Like, they literally have corporate jobs. They're doing other stuff. Like, they don't see the value of the market of social media. Like, they're in a different sphere. So I get that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we did analytics and we did who's your target audience and all of that, mine is not the younger generation. It's not the younger generations, because hell, a lot of the younger generations, they have been through things, but they haven't been through something where they're going to say, this is my comeback story. So the comeback resonates with people who have been through some things. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been through some trials and some tribulations. And so I love to hear how it has impacted. Because 1 year I wasn't going to do it. And somebody was like, oh no, you're going to do it. Like, even with this year, it was just like, this is your celebration. You need to celebrate how you want to. And so the reason why I'm doing it this year, like I told you why I did it my first year, is still the same reason. So Kevin, when you said, does your why change? I think it morphs into different things. Like, more so for me this year, the why of me doing this show is I ain't thinking about nobody else. I am bringing a product to people to celebrate what I've built, because I'm at the point where I can, because I know that it's making an impact. And when I say I'm not thinking about anybody else, it's not that I'm not considering anybody else, because I have people that have come on board. Jason Alexander. Jason Alexander has been doing his thing for the longest. Like, when I got out of college, I remember Jason as being a poet. And I remember I used to travel to go watch Black on Black Rhyme. Like, he was in the poetry sector. He wasn't even a host at that time. Like, he was a poet, literally performing the dopest poems I had ever heard in my life. And I remember I was hosting a fashion show, and we were doing a tribute. This was like when Trayvon Martin was murdered, and we just needed somebody impactful to give a poem. And Jason did like an original poem for that particular show. And I just remember just making sure that he has to be the one. He has to be the guy to perform this poem, because I loved his poetry. I just loved his stage presence. And so to see like him, to see his path, him doing that, to turning things into like a live show, to being like one of the dopest hosts, just period. You know what I'm saying? Like, around, to have him, he's going to be one of my special guests that I'm going to interview. I was like, this is a long time coming. Like, why have we never collaborated before? It's crazy. So I get to collaborate with him, somebody that I've respected for a very long time. I get to collaborate is a new podcast that's out there, but they're making waves already. Like, the Experience Life podcast is going to be there. And then finally, I get to chop it up with my dog, Christopher King. Like, I have been like in his presence for the past 2 years, and I've just seen how people gravitate towards him. And it's just, I'm like, dang, we are like having these conversations day in and day out. And I just looked at him. I'm like, you're coming to my school off of a simple ask from me. I asked you to bring your gentleman's course as a part of our curriculum here. And so I got him from just having him 1 day a week last year to he's here 3 days a week. He's here 3 days a week with me. And it's like, you're someone that if they don't sit down and talk to you, they're going to miss so many gems. Like, he'll just come in my office and we'll just spark up a conversation. And I'm like, Are you really this down to earth? Like, are you really this real? Are you really this resourceful?
He really is that dude.
For no reason at all. Like, you really are just dropping gems in my office, and it's like, that's just who you are. Like, good, genuine people are hard to come by nowadays. And it's just like, Chris, I wanna interview you. Like, I'm like, people may know or they may have heard of you, but I don't know if they really, really like know you, know what you bring to the table. And in some way, he's one of those guys that is very content with you not knowing the whole full gamut of what he offers. But in another regard, he just offers too much that you gotta let people know who it is. And he's in that space where he will, you know what I'm saying? And so we have live performances because I said this is going to be a celebration. So I'm going to do what I like. I like somebody who can sing. So I have Lady Soul coming to open up the show. I love comedy. We're going to have a comedian. Like, I love a dope DJ. DJ Ken Blaze is going to be on the ones and twos. And we are going to cut up after these interviews. It's like, I want it. It's going to be a celebration. Food trucks, vendors, photo booths, all of that good stuff. It's just like, it's the formula. But it's more of a celebratory thing. And so I'm just, this year just feels different. You know what I'm saying? It just feels different. This year I didn't pick a wedding date because apparently 11-11. So we know, like how you said, the first weekend of October, that's when you guys are going to do it, because I changed my date. Mine has always been the first weekend in November. And last year I changed it to the second weekend because 11-11 kept being shown in my brain, and I was like, that must mean something. Yeah, that meant that it was gonna be a whole hell of a lot of other events going on. So while people supported you, you know, when you have an event, it's cool that people sponsor seats and all that, but at the end of the day, you got to feel the energy. If you have a live event, you right need in the seats, you know, right. What I'm saying, like, it just, you need people in the seats. So this year people are in the freaking seats, and I'm like, thank you, because this is what year one was like. So that's why I'm overly thankful, grateful, excited. And so I can't wait. It's Saturday from noon to five at the Lakeland Well, 114 East Parker Street. And we're going to have a good time. Tickets are still available. Why they last on eventbrite.com. So, yeah.
So will they be able to buy tickets at the door?
I'm hoping that they won't. Because okay. This show is, I'm telling you, it's low tickets. I don't want to give the number, but they probably won't be able to, because it's probably going to sell out.
Tickets are limited. Get your tickets now.
Get them now.
For the third year anniversary for the Jazzy Conversation with Jazz podcast live event, celebration.
It is. Like,
been putting in the community.
So. Yep. And the theme is, the dress code is casually chic, but with a pop of yellow. Because yellow has been in my brain this year. It's like, it's always something that I pay attention to that just keeps showing up. And so the color yellow, like, I'm a show y'all this, because I have it on my desk now. I'll just put it there. It's a very quick story behind this, but I said it was gonna be the I said I was gonna incorporate yellow into it some kind of way. And so I was at Walmart, and you know how like people beg for donations, and they've gotten real creative where they have their kids with them now, and it just makes you feel even more bad when you don't give to them.
Not your boy.
No,
you in that stroller over.
Listen, that's how I am. I rolled by this lady like three different times because I was like, man, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Got these dang on kids. It was just one little boy with her. I was just like, man, I don't have time for it. I was doing something, trying to buy something, probably for the podcast or whatever. I was like literally, it kept aggravating me because I had to keep passing by her in my car. And I was just like, and she just kept, it's like she would lock eyes with me. And I'm like, I really don't have time for this. Like, I just want to drive in peace. Like, I don't want to be thinking about, am I a good human or a bad human because I'm ignoring you? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just was too much pressure. So like that last time I was leaving, the last time I passed by her, she was like, you know, ma'am, please, like, da 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 da. And I was like, I don't have any money on me or whatever, because I rarely carry cash. And so she had this big thing of roses. And I don't know where she pulled this yellow rose from, because all I saw was red and pink roses. And she was about to hand me a red rose, and she handed me this yellow one. And I was just like, damn it. I was like, is this supposed supposed to be a message to me. Like, I still pulled off. Mm. I pulled off. And something would not let me leave that parking lot. Like, I circled around in the parking lot and I dug in my purse. Like, I just kept digging. I kept digging and I found $5. And I took it back to her. And no lie, she lost it. Like, she was cool. Like, she boo-hooed, cried. She was like, I promise you, like, this is not a scam. She was like, I really need this money or whatever. And I was just like, I'm gonna take my ass home and I am not leaving the house because I can't be in these emotional states. But I don't know. Like, I look at stuff like that and I'm like, I just feel like it's just a sign. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I don't know what that could have made or break for her, but it's like, I was at that moment at that particular time, yellow is resonating with me for some reason. It just is. And I'm like, I didn't even see no yellow roses in your stack. And you literally was for the hand me a red rose and you put it back. And you was like, no, I want you to have this one. I was just like, where is that coming from? So I just hope it all worked out. And I hope that that's, you know, it worked out for a good reason. So, but it's on my desk because it's reminding me of my why. I put out good in the universe. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to have a great legacy. Like, I just, that's important to me.
That's a good why.
Well, listen, that was amazing, y'all. We got the amazing Jasmine Bennett, a jazzy conversation. Her event is going down this Saturday. Tickets available on Eventbrite.
Yep.
Get your butts in the room. Go celebrate the event. Celebrate the occasion. If you don't know, her podcast goes down every Monday, 7 p.m.
Yep.
And
tell them how to follow you.
I'll tell them how to follow you.
Listen, you can follow me on Instagram, on IG, Facebook, and YouTube. All of them are at Jazzy, J-A-Z-Z-I-E. Conversations with Jazz. So at Jazzy Conversations with Jazz, YouTube, Facebook, and on Instagram. Make sure you follow me, you like me, you subscribe, you leave a comment in the comment section, leave us a review. This was a dope episode. Make sure you guys follow Boss Fest as well, and make sure you are in the building next year for Boss Fest because it's gonna be epic. All right, you never know, we're probably gonna be in Atlanta next year.
Ooh. You really don't know what you got going on.
You know what?
It's crazy I let
y'all talk about that off the air. But it's been another one tonight, man. We appreciate joining us.
Before we leave the episode, I just want y'all to know, as we go into 2025, that same energy y'all creating right now, we want y'all to stand on that business. And that's how I'm going to leave it. We standing on business all 2024 into 2025, and it is what it is.
I needed me a hat that says stand on your business.
Hey, we out. Peace.